Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the August 19 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. He's from right here in Champaign County. Don't forget to buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up the 21st day of November. You can pick those up online at willag.org, willag.org, or at the farmassetsconference.com website. Now let's turn our attention directly to the market. It seemed to be really quiet after the USDA reports, Kurt Kimmel, last week. And we have harvest going full steam.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next report to get some more action. You nailed it right there. That's the most active session we've seen in quite some time, and I expect it to stay somewhat quiet here. November bean options expire next Friday, so I don't know if the trade will let the market move much out of the recent range we've been in to try to get the $10 plus calls to expire worthless and the 960, 940 call puts to expire worthless on the downside. Got some decent demand in the market, saw some real good export news here over the short term, but yet there's a lot of grain above the market to be moved yet.
It seems to me that those 2 days, especially in the soybeans Thursday and Friday last week, might be a missed opportunity. That seems odd during the harvest season for marketing of beans. Do you think that might have been the case?
Yeah, I think it could have been a missed opportunity if you didn't get anything sold on it. But if we look at where we're at today versus where we were before the report, we're still not in too bad a shape on the beans, I don't think. I think a person can take advantage of where we're at, maybe have some offers in there in case we get an update like we had after that report. But still at decent profitable levels on soybeans. I think Kurt's exactly right. It's quiet in the future side of things and continues to probably be quiet. The bases may actually have more movement in the next 6 weeks than the futures do.
Bill Mayer, of course, and Wayne Nelson, on that basis movement, how will it move, do you think? And is there much of a difference for corn and soybeans and the appreciation that might happen?
Yeah, there is, Todd. I think this year it's going to depend on China and if they are aggressive. And once we get harvest done and the beans are put in a bin, they're going to have to bring the basis on in a little quicker. We've got lots of corn everywhere. We've got lots of corn all over the world. Our shipments of corn were behind from last year, but we knew we were going to be behind from last year because we shipped a whole lot more because Brazil didn't have any for 2-3 months. So what they keep throwing in our face, it looks so terrible, isn't bad if you look at what we've done for the other 3 years before that. So, but to look at, but yes, I think we're going to see a lot more. The another thing, hopefully we can continue to keep the rivers high enough so we don't have barge freight at 300%+. That would help our basis levels a lot too. I think this corn is going to go in the bins. I think a lot of areas, a lot of the farmers are just going to stick it in the bags. Some of them are putting out there and around. So the elevators might not get quite as much at this really wide basis as they think they're going to.
This is something that seemed to have happened last year, and you've got another follow-up comment as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to say another thing that's going on in the bean market, and I think that it's not a huge deal at this point, but the South American dryness. I think before the report last week, we did have some people that were wanting to kind of buy the bean market. You could see people buying the breaks, and then once the report got out of the way, that gave them the opportunity to maybe come in and do some buying. You know, as it gets, the showers come across and there's some pretty good showers in the forecast, that can change. But that is another factor that's out there, I believe, on the beans that isn't really there on the corn.
So the beans have more opportunity, in your opinion. Corn does what between now and the end of the year?
Well, I think Kurt's right when he said steady. I think you're just a steady, maybe slightly higher market as you go forward. I think as you look out to the carry that we have in the corn market, we have the March probably expiring somewhere where the December is going to expire, and the July may be the same as we go forward. Kind of a year pretty similar to what we had last year.
So in that case, every time we expire a month, the futures come down rather than going up.
Could be. I guess we're fixing to find out on that, but yeah, it's going to be hard to really see some type of big futures move to the upside unless we start to develop some weather problems in the southern hemisphere, or see China all of a sudden maybe sneak in here and buy some corn in order to secure some supplies for their ethanol production down the road. But the roll down effect's going to be in place. Your best bet here is pick up a little bit in basis to pay for storage. But if you're a producer, if you want to pick up 20, 30 cents to the upside, your best bet's to double down. Get a position on paper on here. So when the market does go higher, you can pick up 10, 15 cents in the cash and 10 to 15 cents on the board.
It seems to me that the good news, if you want to call it that, is that the three of you at least sound as if you don't think there's a lot of downside potential for the corn market at this point.
Well, there is always downside risk, and if you're holding cash grain until it's sold, you are subject to downside risk. But I don't foresee a sharp move to the downside till after the first of the year. I think the end user is sort of hungry in through here. I think you're going to start hearing stories about elevators saying, you know, where's the corn at? I didn't get everything I needed bought here this fall. But there's probably 10, 15, 20 cent risk to the downside, but yet there's 10, 15, 20 cent upside potential.
You know, another thing, Todd, and we've looked at here, and one of the things is option volatility is tremendously, tremendously low. So what Kurt was talking about was, I don't think he was talking about just buying the board as much as maybe buying some options if you're going to be doubling up along the way. Either way works with your individual. I mean, of course, it's more of a one-for-one if you do the futures, but it's also one-for-one if you lose. So we can have a limited loss that way. I think that we need to look at looking out there. We put some 370 December or July puts in place under some corn we had stored. We did that for under 15 cents. I think that there's going to be a good basis increase. And if we can see, my new favorite word for the upcoming season is going to be La Nina. I would like to hear that very often. I'd like to hear it daily, hourly. And I would like to hear La Nina, and that can help this thing rally. So remember, our new favorite word is La Nina.
We'll check with the weathercasters and see if we can keep mentioning that once a day or so.
Well, I guess I'll help Wayne out with La Nina. No, I think the theme that we're hearing here between the three of us is that you have to be pretty aggressive on the corn to capture opportunities whenever you get them. So if you go in and you buy some calls and you get a chance to take 10 or 15 cents profit out, do it on the cash corn. If you pay that storage and you get the chance to get something over and above that storage cost, take it. You know, I think that's really the theme that we're hearing here on the corn market. We will get some movement. The market's just not going to stay exactly where it's at all year, but when we do, you have to take advantage of that. And if you want $4 plus corn on the futures, that's going to happen in the December 18 or the July 18 first. It's not going to happen in the nearby, probably.
So nickel and dime, actually, this marketplace, because it's just not going to move much more than that.
Yeah, I think it's going to have some support. I do agree with Kurt. There may be 10 to 15 cents downside in the corn market, but I think we'll see buyers come in if that happens. I think you've got ranges that you're going to get established as you come out of harvest, and I believe myself they'll be a little bit higher than where we're at today, but not a lot higher.
Are you very concerned about the next year's planting season, given that USDA on this last crop production report told us that this was the most combined corn and soybean acres that we've ever planted?
Well, we're going to sort that out this winter, but wheat seedings in the west are low, particularly in Kansas. So I'm not surprised we're going to see more western growers come in with more corn or beans in general. Informa sort of looks at unchanged acres. Now, I don't know if that's 18 or just wrapping up the 17 here, but that's going to be the market maker here this winter. You just got to sort of push the pencil and see what is most profitable for your operation. Odds are here in the central
state of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, we're going to stick with rotation.
I do want to talk a little bit about Kansas and the wheat seedings. LDPs collected there in the western part of Kansas this year. Not really corn and soybean country. That acreage might go back to pasture or something else, I suppose.
Yeah, it's not the best corn ground, and I don't know if the water's available for all the irrigation that they need and whatever, but they are way, way behind on their wheat seedings. We thought we were going to lose 3 million acres in the Dakotas and that for the spring wheat when it got up above $6, and they hedged a lot. You know, a lot of us have been talking about how we're going to, that's acreage we got to make up, and we're looking at this. So that is a big deal that they're not planting wheat in Kansas if it comes to corn or beans. The other thing we got to look at is if we can delay the planting and doing along in South America at least, you know, maybe another 10, 14 days, it's going to get awful late to be putting safrinha corn in. We might see more beans go in South America and not the double crop corn or two seasons of corn, which could help us a little bit in the corn market for next year also.
So we have to really watch the weather, which is a bit unusual at this point in time, but it has a lot to do with the size of the crop, and it's really the only game in town at the moment.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, the market's looking for something there, and I agree totally with what Wayne said as far as the lateness of the crop, and at their prices down there with the currency exchange that we currently have, they're actually hurting probably worse than the U.S. farmer as far as profits go. It's going to be tough for them to plant in all cases that second crop corn, especially if they're planting in dry dirt later on.
I have been watching some other things that come to me from Bloomberg and other places. They have been of a mind, because the Dow is above 23,000 now, that the commodity cycle looks to be on an uptrend. Are there reasons that we're not considering that might give a lift to this marketplace? And I suppose the fundamentals don't appear to be in place to actually move the market higher.
Yeah, we're seeing quite a few reports or studies on the spread, the difference between the stock indexes and raw commodities in general, record wide. At some point in time, though, that will come and reverse that spread there, where the stock market will lose ground to commodities and commodities will gain on the stock market. And these fund managers are looking for opportunities with the low volatility that was mentioned by Wayne there. I think at some point in time in here, whenever there's a development in the marketplace, some type of catalyst to move that money, it sets the market up for commodities in general to gain, not just corn, beans, and wheat, but your metals and your energies and so forth. So it'd be a whole commodity sector move. And that's what we're hoping for here as we move down the road. It might not be for another year or two, but that's the next prospect we see on the horizon here to help prices in general.
Why is it that you think the price of soybeans has managed to stay above $9 when many people look at the 430 million bushel carryout and say this is a number that is really big, yet we have a $9 plus, well above that in fact, cash price for soybeans?
The reason being China. They are out there. They have been huge. We've underestimated China's demand for the last 3 years. We've sort of upped it. We're looking at it. And let's stop and remember here, we're looking at South America now. They are having difficulty getting beans in the ground. Some they planted might have to be replanted. And everything until they can get planted and going off, we probably are going to hold this bean price. Now, if they get stuff in the ground, if the weather changes as forecast, and after it's about the end of the month, and they start getting rains in some of those areas, and they can dry off in Argentina also, we'll probably see a little hit in the beans. But seasonally, it's time. We're after over 50% harvested. It's time for beans to maybe see a little rally here into the end of the year.
So the Chinese have been into the market for soybeans, and they take the bulk of soybeans from both North and South America for some time now. The trade has gotten used to, over the past several seasons, to the USDA not getting that number correct. However, it appears that they have been doing a better job, and they've got a big number again for the 17-18 number.
Yeah, that ending stocks number for the U.S. typically drops as we go through the year. And if you look at the last week's report, the world stocks are staying on soybeans, even with the big crops we've had, staying pretty steady. I'd also, I think there's another factor there, and that's the soybean oil or vegetable oils in general. The stocks have been pretty much declining each year. So I think we have several things going on there. I think there's some competitiveness, maybe not so much now, but over the last few years, as we came out of the 2012 drought and that, with soybeans having to compete with corn, and even somewhat so today, that's not the choice of a lot of Midwestern farmers to go with the soybeans. So I think they have to be priced somewhat above the corn from a profitability standpoint to get the acres. So I think there's several factors there. I think that one of the questions that you look at is if we do see beans rally here over the next few months, maybe because of South American weather, maybe because of La Nina, I think that we have the question, you know, can the corn just stay where it's at, and will the beans pull the corn market up some? I think that's one of the questions as we go through looking, going through the winter.
What does your crystal ball tell you?
Well, I think that we've kind of found after the report last week that the soybeans can't make a jump like that without pulling the corn market up some, even though it was hard to hold.
So I want to go down a different path just a bit, because we've had trading ranges both for corn and soybeans that have held pretty strong, and we get to the top ends and we don't go much further than that or not at all. However, our expectations with the crop have changed dramatically since midsummer. We have much more crop on hand than we thought we were going to. We're still in those trading ranges. Producers, I suppose, should feel very good about that. And I'm wondering if you look at this the same way you would say, I planted more acres of X commodity because the price was right for me to sell, and now you've got more bushels of that commodity and something of the same space, should they be happier about this than maybe they are?
Well, a lot of them say, I wish I would have replanted more, because this is a lot better. A pleasant surprise. When you have the bushels to sell, it helps take the edge off these lower prices. That's where you come into different regions of the country. Here in the Central Belt, I think guys are going to most likely stick with the rotation. But when you look at the profitability, beans are definitely there. But when you go on out to the 18 corn, as Bill mentioned there, you start getting the futures above the $4 or a little higher. There's some opportunity, some profitability there too. So that's going to be the juggling act this winter, to either stick with your rotation or lean to something that's more profitable. Or if you're in a situation where you can't take the risk on, you need to keep your overhead low, you might go with the bean sector because of the outlay of cash flow.
What do they do about the additional bushels of both corn and soybeans they harvested this fall? Do they look at them as a windfall because they're inside that trading range?
Well, it depends where you are in your marketing program. Also, too, some crop insurance falls in this area. But with the windfall, if you are in a situation where there is a windfall, I think you take the money off the table and preserve working capital.
Yeah, I think that we're looking at a bad basis. I don't know that we sell it for delivery now, but I do think that they price some of it for later delivery, whether it's January, March, May, July, or whatever. But I think that we want to try to do that, especially if you have storage. When we say storage, it doesn't mean that we can't price some of it by putting a floor under the, say, the March or July, or by selling futures against it and then hoping for a basis increase to come along. But I think that's good.
I'll just use a real example that I sat down with a guy this week and went over. I mean, we were using 200 bushel corn at 350 was kind of what we were using in the cash flow analysis. He's ending up with about 235. That comes out to about 305 cash price rather than 350 that he needs to get that same $700 per acre. So, yes, I think I agree that we should take some of the cash off the table there. And I also agree with Wayne wholeheartedly. Look at the best slot to sell the corn that you can afford from a cash flow standpoint. There are some opportunities to sell corn further out Maybe you have to do it by doing an HTA or selling futures and then setting the bases later, but there are some opportunities to lock in some of this carry in the market.
Let's go through some of the options that they might have, producers might take up at this point, that they may not necessarily use all the time. What are, in your opinion, their best risk management tools for unpriced corn and or unpriced soybeans, and pick whichever side you want to do?
Well, I think you got to stay flexible, and you got to be in a position to take advantage of some good cash bids when they occur. The most simplest thing we're doing is looking at putting a price floor under the market. That way you're covered. The market goes down, the market goes higher, the cash will outgain what you're going to give up on some type of price floor strategy.
Yeah, I agree with Kurt. We've been doing the puts under the March and July on the corn. You know, we're looking out some of them in January, basically, in the beans, because they don't want to go quite as far. You know, and bean options cost more, so they want to sit with that. I think that's a good thing. That will also get you through the time period to see whether South America is able to get in the field and get a good crop going. You know, Argentina is 35% behind planting their corn right now, and if that can stretch out for another couple weeks, that can really shorten it up. It might hurt the bean market, but it could help our corn market.
I'm kind of looking at the soybean production as a way to generate some cash flow here in the short term, and using the corn maybe to try to capture some of that carry. The commercial corn is a harder corn to deal with because you are faced with paying that storage charges. I think in some cases you can go ahead and pay those storage charges and go out and sell the deferred months, and that will pick up even in some cases a little bit, especially Western Illinois. But I guess the best strategy that I can see is that if you're going to store the corn and you have some kind of a number out there that you're looking for and have those offers in, whenever it gets there, if it gets there, then you have it sold. So you can't just store the corn and hope the market goes up. I think you have to have some additional plan on how to capture the basis improvement and the carry in the market.
And as always, the strategy requires that you go ahead and pull the trigger and not pull away from those numbers.
Yeah, you got to have a stick to your plan mentality. It's nice to work with myself or Bill or Wayne to help you to stick with that plan and strategy, because when the market starts going up, you start feeling good about it. It's hard to pull the trigger sometimes unless you have those orders in there ahead of time.
What are the things when you look forward, or maybe from this week, that we haven't talked about that you either find as good news or as concerning? For instance, NAFTA, which finished up its fourth round but didn't come to a conclusion. The RFS is still in limbo at this point.
Well, when you start talking world trade agreements, there's more into it than just whether they buy corn or beans. There's other factors that are involved with that outside of just corn and beans. Overall, I think the world's kind of comfortable with the supply of grain we have down the world, but when it comes to some country needing some commodity, they're going to buy it or find a way to get it. I think it's going to work its way through. When you look at the fairness, when Brazil has an import tax of 15% to 20% of our ethanol going into that country, you know, there's things that probably need to be cleaned up, but I don't think we're going to get an all-out trade war between different countries.
Well, the good news is the news wires this afternoon said that Trump called the EPA and told them, leave the RFS alone, get off that kick. Now, will Mr. Pruitt listen or not? We don't know, but it's sure good to have him telling him that. I think that, you know, seasonally now, we generally are a little up in beans. Seasonally, we're a little bit from the years over a 15-year average. March corn goes down from October 31st to the 24th of November, 13 out of the last 15 years. So if you're looking at anything in trends that way, seasonality, beans could go up, corn could go down.
I guess I feel like there's nothing wrong with renegotiating some agreements if we think that we can improve on them. From the United States standpoint, I think we do hold some cards. I believe that the negotiators and the people that are making those agreements understand that it's good for both parties and they will come to some kind of agreement. So some of the sky is falling reports that you hear, I don't think are going to affect the market that much. And we will come to, you know, we will get the agreement settled eventually here on the NAFTA side of it.
Let's get a final word from each of you. I think, Kurt Kimmel, that we'll start with you this afternoon.
La Nina, I think's the word, I guess, Wayne. But we did see some other news in the market this week. Outside of agriculture is the stock market. The Dow had an impressive run here over the short term. And something we do work with futures and options are the Dow futures and options and many S&Ps and NASDAQ. So if you're a holder of a stock position or mutual fund position, you think the market's toppy, we can help you hedge that position. There's no need to really liquidate it. Or if you're a full-blown bull and think this Dow's going to 24,000, you can do a paper position and try to capture that move.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
You know, I think we've got a lot going on right here and a lot of balls in the air. But I think NAFTA saying they're agreeing to continue to meet into 18 rather than just walking away mad and saying we're going to take our ball and go home is probably one of the best news. And President Trump, you know, stepping in and saying, hey, leave the RFS alone. Two good things happening.
And Bill Mayer.
Well, I think that demand is still the key thing that we have out here. Demand continues to grow. It continues to improve in both corn and soybeans. We do have a lot of commodity out here. We have to work our way through that, but the demand is a positive that's providing support for us, and I see that continuing. And I think that any kind of hiccup that we have as we go through on the growing season may give us some opportunities, at least a perception of hiccups, may give us some opportunities to do some pricing.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Look us up online at willag.org, willag.org. There you can listen to our programming. Anytime you'd like on demand, you can find us in iTunes, the Google Play Store, the NPR One app, and Stitcher as well. Also, don't forget that the Farm Assets Conference is coming up in the month of November, the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving on the 21st, a day-long event. You can find all the details and buy your tickets at willag.org. Or at farmassetsconference.com. Our thanks to our panelists this week, including Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois as well. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.